A gale of laughter from the middle of the table drowned the rest of Bill's words. Fred, George, Ron and Mundungus were rolling around in their seats.
"And then," choked Mundungus, tears running down his face, "and then, if you'll believe it, he says to me, he says, 'Here, Dung, where did you get all them toads from? 'Cause some son of a bludger's gone and nicked all mine.' And I says, 'Nicked all your toads? Well, what next? So you'll be wanting some more, then. And if you'll believe me, lads, the gormless gargoyle buys all his own toads back off me for twice what he paid in the first place.'"
"I don't think we need to hear any more of your business dealings. Thank you very much, Mundungus," said Mrs. Weasley sharply, as Ron slumped forward onto the table, howling with laughter.
"Beg pardon, Molly,"
said Mundungus at once, wiping his eyes and winking at Harry.
"But, you know, Will nicked some off Watery Harris in the first place, so I wasn't really doing nothing wrong."
"I don't know where you learned about right and wrong, Mundungus, but you seem to have missed a few crucial lessons," said Mrs. Weasley coldly. Fred and George buried their faces in their goblets of butterbeer. George was hiccuping. For some reason, Mrs. Weasley threw a very nasty look at Sirius before getting to her feet and going to fetch a large rhubarb crumble for pudding. Harry looked round at his godfather.
"Molly doesn't approve of Mundungus," said Sirius in an undertone.
"How come he's in the order?" Harry said very quietly.
"He's useful," Sirius muttered. "Knows all the crooks. Well, he would, seeing as he's one himself. But he's also very loyal to Dumbledore, who helped him out of a tight spot once. It pays to have someone like Dung around. He hears things we don't. But Molly thinks inviting him to stay for dinner is going too far. She hasn't forgiven him for slipping off duty when he was supposed to be tailing you."
Three helpings of rhubarb crumble and custard later, and the waistband on Harry's jeans was feeling uncomfortably tight, which was saying something, as the jeans had once been Dudley's. He laid down his spoon in a lull in the general conversation. Mr. Weasley was leaning back in his chair, looking replete and relaxed. Tonks was yawning widely, her nose now back to normal, and Ginny, who had lured Crookshanks out from under the dresser, was sitting cross-legged on the floor, rolling butterbeer corks for him to chase.
"Nearly time for bed, I think," said Mrs. Weasley on a yawn.
"Not just yet, Molly,"
said Sirius, pushing away his empty plate and turning to look at Harry.
"You know, I'm surprised at you. I thought the first thing you'd do when you got here would be to start asking questions about Voldemort."
The atmosphere in the room changed with the rapidity Harry associated with the arrival of Dementors. Where seconds before it had been sleepily relaxed, it was now alert, even tense. A frisson had gone around the table at the mention of Voldemort's name. Lupin, who had been about to take a sip of wine, lowered his goblet slowly, looking wary.
"I did," said Harry indignantly. "I asked Ron and Hermione, but they said we're not allowed in the order, so..."
"And they're quite right," said Mrs. Weasley. "You're too young."
She was sitting bolt upright in her chair, her fist clenched upon its arms, every trace of drowsiness gone.
"Since when did someone have to be in the Order of the Phoenix to ask questions?" asked Sirius. "Harry's been trapped in that muggle house for a month. He's got the right to know what's been happening."
"Hang on," interrupted George loudly.
"How come Harry gets his questions answered?" said Fred angrily. "We've been trying to get stuff out of you for a month and you haven't told us a single stinking thing," said George.
"You're too young. You're not in the order,"
said Fred in a high-pitched voice that sounded uncannily like his mother's.
"Harry's not even of age."
"It's not my fault you haven't been told what the order's doing," said Sirius calmly. "That's your parents' decision. Harry, on the other hand..."
"It's not down to you to decide what's good for Harry,"
said Mrs. Weasley sharply. Her normally kindly face looked dangerous.
"You haven't forgotten what Dumbledore said, I suppose."
"Which bit?"
Sirius asked politely, but with an air as though readying himself for a fight.
"The bit about not telling Harry more than he needs to know," said Mrs. Weasley, placing a heavy emphasis on the last three words.